Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 66 to close at 21,513. S&P 500 Index down 2 at 2,469. NASDAQ Composite up 23 to finish at 6,410. Russell 2000 up 2 at 1438. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note up 2 basis points at 2.25%. Oil up 66 cents at $46.43 per barrel. Gold up 50 cents at $12.56 per ounce. So stocks were mixed. Tech shares leading the way. NASDAQ Composite managed to close at another record high. Commodities Futures Trading Commission data shows that bets against the dollar are at their highest since early 2013, while bullish wagers on the 30-year Treasury bond are about the highest since mid-2016. The dollar dropped to 15-month lows and then rebounded slightly. The yield on the 10-year Treasury note moved up to 2.25%. You probably would not expect to see such extreme positioning if investors were confident in the outlook for the economy and the prospect for much higher interest rates. Federal Open Market Committee slated to begin its two-day meeting tomorrow. Fed watchers not expecting a change in interest rates. The Fed will likely be as vague and flexible as possible. The Fed doesn't want to get specific about timing, but they also don't want to leave any doubt. The central bank still plans to raise interest rates again this year and start to sell off its vast holdings of treasuries and mortgage-related bonds. But the Fed has a problem: inflation, or the lack thereof. The Federal Reserve thinks modest inflation has important economic benefits, and it has aimed, since 2012, to keep prices rising at an annual pace of 2%. Problem is, the Fed is on track to fail for the sixth straight year, and it might be a sign the economy just isn't as strong as everybody hopes. This week, the government is expected to report a nearly 3% advance in second quarter gross domestic product, the official scoreboard for the economy. While that would mark a big improvement on 1.4% growth in the first quarter, it would leave the U.S. on the same 2% trajectory it's been on since the end of the Great Recession. That's less than two-thirds of the nation's historic rate of growth. Today, the IMF cut its 2017 economic growth forecast for the U.S. to 2.1%. It's down from the 2.3% it was estimating back in April. The National Association of Realtors reports existing home sales dropped 1.8% to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 5.5 million units last month. Even as sales slipped, demand was strong. Inventory was tight. Prices moved higher. There were 1.96 million houses on the market last month. Now, that's down 7.1% from a year ago. Housing inventory has dropped for 25 straight months on a year-on-year basis. The median house price jumped 6.5% from a year ago to an all-time high of $263,800 in June. It's the 64th straight month of year-on-year price increases. A reading of U.S. manufacturing output reached a four-month high in July. The IHS Market Flash U.S. Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index rose to 53.2 from 52 in June. There was an acceleration in readings for output, new orders, employment, and stocks of input. Well, nearly 200 S&P 500 companies scheduled to report their quarterly results this week. Second quarter earnings season has been generally positive. 68% of companies beat on earnings per share. 75% beat Wall Street average estimates on sales. And 53% beat on both top and bottom line. It's the highest proportion for top and bottom line beats at this point during earnings season in over 5 years. with more than one-fifth of the S&P 500 companies having reported results. Earnings are now expected to have climbed 8.8% in the second quarter. That's up from a projection of an 8% rise at the start of the month. Of course, those that disappoint have been swiftly punished by investors, as General Electric found out on Friday. Big earnings news after the bell today. Alphabet topped $1,000 per share intraday, but in after-hours trade, the stock dropped about 3% after reporting a drop in second-quarter profit, thanks in large part to a $2.7 billion fine European antitrust regulators slapped on its Google unit. Here are the numbers. The company's net income fell to $3.5 billion, or $5.01 per Class A and B share in Class C capital stock. For the second quarter, that's from $4.8 billion or $7 per share a year earlier. And that was still enough to beat estimates of $4.49 per share. Revenue rose about 21% to $26 billion in the second quarter, beating analyst average estimate of $25.6 billion. Google Sites revenue, $18.3 billion. Google Network revenue, $4 billion. Cost per click, up 14.6% from last year. Paid clicks, up 35.2% from last year. Revenue from its Google Other unit, that includes the Pixel smartphone, Play Store, cloud business, up 42.3% to almost $3.1 billion. Alphabet has been adding new content as it races Facebook and traditional TV networks for a share of the market for digital video ads. YouTube said in June that it had reached 1.5 billion monthly users and would add 12 new TV shows to the 37 it already has on its YouTube Red service. Company also updating its core search product as more consumers use its service via smartphones. Still, its drive to innovate has run into a regulatory wall in Europe, where regulators ruled Google used its monopoly position in search advertising to hurt rivals by favoring its online shopping service over competitors. That's what led to the company's $2.7 billion fine. Facebook and Amazon, they'll report their quarterly results later this week. In other earnings news, Halliburton shares fell 4.2%. The oil field services provider warned about flattening growth in North American rig count. Johnson & Johnson shares down about 1.7%. That was the biggest weight on the S&P 500 and the Dow. J&J faces discounted competition for its big-selling rheumatoid arthritis drug. Hasbro shares down 9.4%. The toy maker reported their quarterly results, and Arconic lifted its forecast for full-year earnings, said its profit and revenue for the 3 months ending June 30th were higher than predicted. Arconic is the American company that gained notoriety for selling combustible material used in paneling at Grenfell Tower. That's the 24-story London public housing block that caught fire, left 80 people dead. Company faces a class action complaint that accuses it of making false and misleading statements related to its sales of the panels. Private equity firm KKR has agreed to buy WebMD Health Corp, a deal valued at about $2.8 billion. KKR will fold WebMD's websites, including WebMD.com and Medscape.com, into its Internet Brands unit, which houses sites such as DentalPlans.com and AllAboutCounseling.com. Found that in 1996, WebMD has grown into one of the most popular health websites for consumers and medical professionals, attracting more than 70 million unique visitors in 2016. President Trump made a last-ditch plea to Senate Republicans today to repeal and replace Obamacare, maybe just repeal it. Nobody knows the specific plan just yet. It doesn't look like there are enough votes for either a repeal and replacement of Obamacare or a straight repeal. So the Senate will vote tomorrow on whether to open debate on an overhaul of the law. If that procedural vote succeeds, the House bill will then be open for amendment on the Senate floor. Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law and a senior White House advisor, told Senate investigators today he had met with Russian officials four times last year, but said he did not collude with Moscow to influence the 2016 election. Senate Intelligence Committee is one of several congressional panels investigating the Russia matter, along with a criminal probe by Special Counsel Robert Mueller. Congressional Democrats rolling out their economic agenda, calling it the Better Deal. First phase of the agenda includes more and better paying jobs, lowering health care costs by cutting prescription drug prices, cracking down on abuses of big business, and also Democratic bills from earlier this year, including a $15 federal minimum wage and a $1 trillion infrastructure proposal, also being folded into the Better Deal agenda. Democrats say they want to double federal support for apprenticeship programs to help train young people and put out-of-work adults back into the workforce. They also want tax incentives for companies to retrain workers. NASA has a way to cut your flight time in half. For almost half a century, there's been a clear speed limit on most commercial air travel, 660 miles per hour. It's the rate at which a typical-sized plane traveling at 30,000 feet breaks the sound barrier, creates a 30-mile-wide continuous sonic boom. Well, that may be changing. In August, NASA says it will begin taking bids for construction of a demo model of a plane able to reduce the sonic boom to something like a mild hum. The space agency's supersonic plane could be quiet enough to lift the long-standing ban on overland travel if it makes it to production. Lockheed helped create NASA's design using fluid dynamics modeling made possible in the past decade or so by increasingly powerful computers. Together, Lockheed and NASA tested and mapped how subtle differences in aircraft shapes affected the supersonic shockwaves they create. The design they've settled on keeps sound waves from merging into the pattern of a sonic boom, and NASA plans to share the technology resulting from the test with U.S. plane makers. Dow Industrials down 66 to finish at 21,513. S&P 500 down 2 at 2469. NASDAQ Composite up 23 at a record high 6410. Follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and the daily blog, eatthebankers.com. We'll be right back.